Thank you, fearless listeners, for tuning in today and downloading our podcast. Please like and subscribe as it helps us grow. Also, share with a friend as we have to keep talking about this shit. Now let's dive in.
Coming up on today's edition of Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about, our guest is one of our own Purse Strings approved professionals, Peggy Haslach.
We adore Peggy. She is a financial advisor with Affinity Group. Peggy serves the LGBTQIA+ community with her expertise in financial planning and wealth protection.
Peggy is such a strong advocate for Purse Strings, where we focus on serving the female market by providing tools, resources, and vetted professionals like Peggy who love to engage and serve the market. And why? Because it's an underserved market.
And Peggy's focus is on serving the LGBTQIA market through her work and through her advocacy with organizations and platforms that also improve DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay, so let's dive in.
Gloria Steinem once said, "We will never solve the feminization of power until we solve the masculinity of wealth." Barbara Provost and Maggie Nielsen are the team at Purse Strings that will help you navigate the ins and outs of financial independence so that you can be financially fearless. This is Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about.
So hi, Peggy. We're thrilled that you're joining us in this important conversation today. So just take a minute or so and go ahead and introduce yourself to our Purse Strings community of listeners.
Okay, well, my name is Peggy Haslach. I live up in the Pacific Northwest, just south of Seattle, and I guess you'd say west of Mount Rainier, so I'm nestled in there. I am married. My wife is a professional dog handler, and we have four border collies. Those are our fur kids. And I say that because that is how I started my practice and based my practice. I work with a lot of LGBT dog handlers and veterinarians, so people who are in that world, and definitely saw that there was a need for this. When I started going through the training, I saw that they also, that everybody puts the same dang thing on Facebook and, you know, LinkedIn. So I put on there that I'm a progressively pink financial advisor to get the head snap, but also to get people to think, well, what does that mean? And then say, ask the question, which means they're open-minded to hearing the answer.
I love it. Yeah, makes sense. So your advocacy is so important. And, you know, we created Purse Strings as a mission to ensure women had access to financial tools and resources and experts, you know, without being, you know, told, don't worry about that, honey, or without being told, you don't need to know that, I'll take care of it, all of that dismissiveness that so many women have been through. And we want to bring women to the financial table and be part of the conversation. And we love that you bring a focus on the LGBTQ community because, you know, we want to learn more about it. We want to know the experiences of this community and how it relates to financial services. We want to hear more about your advocacy, the barriers that are up against this community, and what your hopes are for the future for this community. So let's go ahead and get started. Let me just open the floor and say, share, you know, your experiences as a gay woman and a gay financial professional in the financial industry.
I kind of backed into this industry because I was working with a financial advisor. I was helping her with her office. And prior to that, my sister and I set up it was a senior move business, where we would help seniors move from their home to a long-term care or assisted living facility. And I would go to these, you know, you go to networking meetings and everybody talks about these things. And inevitably, they would start talking about long-term care. And, you know, afterwards, I would ask questions like, you know, can you bring your dogs to long-term care facilities? And, you know, what about LGBT? Because their family dynamics and coming out is not something that people readily do. And a lot of times when seniors go into long-term care facilities or even, you know, go with their children, they have to go back in the closet because of how that industry was built. A lot of the caregivers are very, let's just say, close-minded about, you know, same-sex partnerships or arrangements. And so they, you know, they can't really find help. So I'd be asking these people questions. And I went about by finding out a lot about long-term care. Mm-hmm. So when I went to work for this financial advisor, she had this bright idea that why don't you handle the insurance part of it and I'll handle the investment part of it, because she couldn't stand the insurance stuff. And so I went and got all my licenses, but then I realized that how the whole insurance portion of it is built is the policy, you sell the policy to get the free financial planning. Well, what happens if you can't get free financial planning because you are part of a community? For example, a lot of my community were veterinarians and LGBT veterinarians, and some of them had depression, and some of them, you know, there's the whole no more vets for suicide. So they are, and some of them were very, they were, the average age of an agility handler was 52. So you're talking about not only was it hard for them to get the policies, but it was cost prohibitive. Mm. So it was, well, I can't get that. So am I doomed? And so I said, no, I need to go out and get more. I need to get equipped to do more. I need to do the investment part. I need to do the whole planning piece. And so that's how I went about setting my practice, is just more to help my community, you know, mm-hmm. to be the resource for them.
I love that. I love that. It's so important. And so, you know, it kind of just leads us into the next question of like, what other problems have you seen for the LGBTQ community when it comes to financial services? I mean, you already talked about that it's hard to get long-term care, but I'm sure that's just the beginning.
Yeah, because one of the things is it's very, very hard because there's not very many of us in the industry. And we've had this discussion before where a lot of times financial, you know, firms kind of keep their token people separate, not don't let them know that there are other financial advisors and planners in the world like you. But a lot of times what it is that they'll bring, you have your person who brings the client into the firm, but then you're doing joint work or you're doing, you have to work with other professionals like CPAs and estate planning attorneys. The next thing you know, I'm the only, you know, LGBT advisor in my firm, in my office. So I bring them in and they're dealing now with my joint work people who are all the stereotypical financial advisor. And in my case, many of them were even younger than me because I entered the industry at, you know, age 53. And here I am sitting in a room with a guy who is 35, mm-hmm. who's telling this person all about, you know, their life and their lifestyle and the planning and all this stuff. And they're looking at him like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, exactly. Mm-hmm. And one thing you said to us earlier was, you know, work with someone who is an expert in you. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Do you want to say a little bit more about that?
Right. We talk about the sales process. So a lot of people in this industry, it is a sales process. So they're focused on the sales. So they go into this meeting with this idea that I'm going to get this sale. And how do you do sale? You build rapport. Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. You know, you're going and you sit down, you're building rapport. And when one of the first questions is, somebody tells you their pronouns and you can't, you give them this weird look, or you just don't know what they're talking about. Or example, what happened to me when I sat down with my first financial advisor and I told him, I wasn't married at the time, but I told him that my partner was a woman. She was a dog trainer and she was a Norwegian citizen. It was like, we're not going to tell you how to plan with her. We're only going to talk to you. But, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute. This is my family. This is my life. I want to know how we're going to do our life together. And this person could not get around that stuff. Mm-hmm. So because it didn't fit into the cookie cutter plan. You know, it didn't fit into the, we'll do the fact finder and then we'll, you know, we'll go right into, you know, this pre-close and then we'll have the close and we'll have this life insurance policy and we'll be all great. And it was like, you know, when you hit that first wall where it's, you know, what do you mean you're married to a woman, you know, or what do you mean you go by the pronouns, you know, whatever, she, they, them, or whatever, you know, whatever they, you do. And if that's where the conversation gets very uncomfortable, guess what? People feel that. I had one recently had a couple sit down and the advisor said, yes, I deal with LGBT couples. And then when he talked about his practice, he gave all these examples and all of his illustrations, and everything he talked about were these nice, cute little heterosexual couples on all of his stuff. And they just looked at him like, seriously.
Right.
That's not us. And they immediately, you know, looked for another financial advisor.
Exactly. I mean, and this just shows where the industry has not kept up to date or is looking into the future about, or looking even around at the communities around them and how life is changing and people are changing and they're going to want and expect different things. And then why don't you share a little bit about how the demographics are changing and the impact to financial services?
Right. The statistics are there. The average financial advisor is, you know, mid-50s, white male. That's it. That's 76% of the population. However, 40% of them are going to be retiring in the next few years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of money is in those hands. And the problem with the industry, we've known about it. Everybody's been talking about it. You've heard it, the great wealth transfer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And right now it's been fine because the great wealth transfer has been from male clients primarily to female clients. Their spouses. Mm-hmm. That's the demographics. And so the financial advisors who's handling this money are still going to handle it the same way, and they're still going to get the referrals, and they're still going to do everything the way they had it done, because right now it's still working. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is, I can't tell you how many older financial advisors say, this is how I built my practice. Mm-hmm. And this is how I want you to build your practice. So it's going to be about my ideal client, not your ideal client. Hmm. Well, young people who are coming in are looking at this and going, that's, you know, no, A, that's not fun. B, that's boring. And I don't care really about helping your clients. I want to help the people I want to help.
Right, right.
So now you have this demographics that's going from the females to the younger generation. And this younger generation is asking for more. Mm-hmm. They're saying, you know what, we're not going to sit in this box. Don't try to define us. We have ideas on how we want to build our wealth, and they're butting heads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to bring more people in this industry, plus the demographics are changing. I mean, the number of LGBTQ is growing. The people who are identifying as something other than, mm-hmm. you know, woman or men is growing as well. And so again, they're going to want people who are going to respect them and treat them as they are rather than discount them. So I think it's inevitable mm-hmm. that the companies that are going to flourish and keep on going are going to have to learn how to deal with the multiple generations. And one of the biggest examples that has shown this, and this is really something that has happened over the past couple of years, is I will be sitting in meetings and in networking meetings and in conferences and even in client meetings. And it will be, the conversation will be going, and then somebody says something and I'll see somebody go like this. And then after the meeting, they'll come and they'll say something like, I don't know if I've told you that my daughter's gay or my son has a transgender child, or, you know, something along that lines. I was at a big conference where they had all women, you know, female financial advisors who were talking about their spouses and how their spouses helped them build their practice. And about halfway through, somebody raised a hand and said, could you do me a favor? Not everybody here has a husband.
Mm-hmm, right.
Can you please change that to spouse or partner? I had totally disconnected from the conference, you know, that conversation beforehand. My head, you know, I turned around and said, wow, I'm going to listen now.
Yeah.
Because now they've been called out on this and I'm going to see how they respond to it. So that's just an example, you know, that there are people who want to hear. They don't want to hear how you built your practice. They don't want to hear how they're going to.
Exactly.
And you got to keep up with your clients. I mean,
you do.
You know, and it's just, it's changing, and the needs of these new families are changing, you know, and the way you allocate your money for, you know, you have to have a surrogacy, or you're doing IVF or things like that. Like, are we bringing that to the table versus like, oh, you're going to have kids. Okay. So we'll put a 529 plan in place. Yeah. No. There's a whole pre-section to me having the child.
Yeah.
That we need to talk about.
Yeah.
And you got to just keep up, which is amazing that like some companies are still just working on keeping up with technology, much less lingo and products and things like that, that can really serve these new families out there, which are so, you know, exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. FinTech is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
FinTech is huge.
So you had a story to share with us.
I did. I loved meeting all the purse strings professionals, and we do have the happy hours and the times we get together and talk shop. And through one of the introductions, I was introduced to a money coach, and the money coach is working with a client. And didn't talk about it when we talked, but out of the blue, I get this phone call. And she says, can you help me out with this client I have? Is this somebody who you would work with? And it's an older lesbian woman who lost a spouse. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm not sure what these people are doing in terms of all of her financial stuff. And could you just take a look at her portfolio? And I said, sure, I'll take a look. And she sent over all the documents. I took a look and I almost fell out of my chair. What I saw. I saw that it looked like, it's like I was talking about, this, they got this lesbian woman, they brought her in the office and everybody took their turn at recommending stuff that she should do with, what she had inherited from her spouse. Oh, she was older, she was in mid-70s, and they put her in a stock portfolio with a lot of tech stocks, profile 4, 80-20. They sold her two CDs and said they called them CDs. It turns out they were two annuities.
Oh.
And they were earning nothing. And they were just straight fixed annuities. They did a refinance on a mortgage. They did all these things. And you could just tell that every person got their hands on a portion of it, made their commission on it, but also treated it as if it wasn't, had nothing to do with this woman. Oh, the other piece was she really wanted ESG.
Mm-hmm.
She, she said the legacy of my spouse was we were very into the environment. I told them that I wanted ESG and they said that they don't do that or they couldn't do that. Well, as it turns out, I know the firm, know the broker dealer, and the broker dealer does do ESG, but not this particular advisor. But rather than lose the client or give the client to somebody who does do that space, they all did their thing. And, I talked to her about it and we ended up going through it. And it was like, we need to make some changes. So we went through and we're working on it. But here's the real kicker on this is we're going to fix everything for her. But when she went to talk to two of the purveyors, because she also has some other investments, every one of them were like, well, we're sorry this happened. And she talked to the annuity guy. We're sorry this happened. The annuity guy has the guy that sold the annuities retired. And the new guy said, well, I'm sorry that happened, that he did that wrong. But you know what? I think you need to bring your assets over to me. So they all tried to get in on her assets again. And it was like, she would say, I have a financial advisor. And this is women, one thing, but it's also LGBT. And there is this kind of fear that we can't talk about it. But even worse is if she does go and talk to people about this, they will cover it up, because they're going to want to keep the money or, see if they can get the shot at the money. And they're not going to, and they'll probably do the same thing.
That makes me sad that a woman would be so taken advantage of like that. And that's exactly why we build purse strings. We really want financial professionals who are going to do what you're doing, Peggy, is really understand who that person is, their age, right? Kind of their risk tolerance for investments, what they should and shouldn't be in, understand who they are. So, wow.
Really, really do what's best for the client, not for you and your personal gain. And then, you know, say, oh, that was Joe's fault, but that's fine. You know, no, own it as a company. And that's not your client. So I'm, mm-hmm. I'm glad we have good people like you to help them out and get them back in line.
Yeah. Well,
and that's also why I said, you know, that's why I went out and got my CFP professional designation, because again, the industry has a lot of old rules, and it's there are biases that say women don't know anything about money. There are biases about LGBT and their money as well. And by having this designation, I take away a part of that, because we still get, you know, what does this person know about financial planning? I've been doing this forever, you know, and I'm with this company, and we've been around forever and ever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, a lot of people, there are two things happen with that. Number one is they're quiet because they feel like they're done. You know, they can't ask questions. They're afraid to ask questions,
right,
because they're going to feel vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that a lot of them just silently leave and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not good there.
No.
Yeah. Interesting. So tell us a little bit more about the work that you do around advocacy and DEI and all of that for the financial arena.
I was very lucky. When I came out, I worked and lived in an environment that was very, very, it was in Los Angeles, California. I worked for a health club company. You know, we had LGBT people of color, women as in management and, you know, in high levels of it. And I'm sure, you know, we had our demographics and our issues that, you know, that all companies do, but on the most part, very, very open environment and very welcomed. It wasn't the trauma of coming out that a lot of people have. Likewise, my family was very open-minded as well. Even, you know, my parents were, you know, Catholic and very conservative, but where we lived and where the family was, there was a lot of their friends had kids who were LGBT. As a matter of fact, one of my, it's not really my aunt, but I called her my aunt, mm-hmm. was like, one of the first things she said to me, she leaned over and she said, "Don't worry about your mom. I'll deal with it. You two, you know, you two go and build a future together. I'm so proud of you." And because her son was gay and came mm-hmm. out before I did. Mm-hmm. So it was easy. You know what I mean? It wasn't as traumatic as it needs to be. So mm-hmm. when I started in financial services and I was seeing the trauma that a lot of people who were othered in the in financial services, you know, the lack of women of color,
mm-hmm.
The men of color were put into, they were othered, you know, there were very few LGBT. And what I realized is that, and it was even tough for women, you know, but I realized being a white woman, I could get in the room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could get in the room and call it out. And so I started sitting on DEI committees, the first firm I was at. And that DEI was very interesting because they didn't really, it was all the check the box stuff. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Yay. You know, that's
the low hanging fruit.
They're all like, and at one point I actually turned around and I looked at them and I said, "Can I ask you a question?" I was at a DEI meeting and they said, "Yes, sure. This is leadership." And I said, "And do you still have this concept of when you're training of fake it till you make it?" And they said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Well, how does a 53-year-old LGBT female like myself fake it? Who do I emulate?" They never answered the question. I handed my reservation like a week later and moved to a different firm. And then that second firm, they had resource groups. They had a women's resource group. And there was one other lesbian advisor in this firm. And I came in and they're like, "You can do the lesbian, you know, the LGBT resource group." And so I went into the office. I said, "What do you think?" And she said, "Good luck with that." And I said, "Why?"
Right.
And she goes, "You'll see." And sure enough, I started to do it and it didn't. I got a little, they did one piece of collateral for me. Mm-hmm. And then when, you know, we had a great year one year, but when things changed, all of a sudden they're like, ah, this is what you need to do. You need to focus on the veterinarians. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you do realize veterinarian, the demographics, but it was like, no, not those veterinarians, these veterinarians, if you know what I mean, you know, the white guy veterinarians that there are, because there is there are DEI issues in the veterinary field as well. So then I went to Cambridge and I sat down and I wrote Amy Weber a letter. Mm-hmm. And I said, Amy, this is what's the challenges in our industry. These are why these, you know, people of color, women, LGBT are not staying with the industry. Because everybody's hiring people to check a box, but then when they get them in, they're not keeping them. Mm-hmm. The other thing that they're doing is they're trying to train them to get clients for them, not for, you know, not to do the work that they want to do. So the choice is these youngsters, most of them are youngsters, either leave the industry altogether or strike out and do independent. Mm-hmm. These little boutique independent things that are, mm-hmm. you know, and I met several of them through Purse Strings and awesome, awesome, exciting people who I to see in financial services. I sent the letter to her and she responded at our annual conference and says, we're going to get back to you on that. And that was September. Well, I think it was October. That same year was when there was a certain conference where the certain guy stood up and made these, these comments about women that wasn't supposed to be repeated, but three people walked out of the room, two women and one guy walked out of the room, immediately posted on social media, and the fallout was unbelievable. It's still, the repercussions are still happening today. Wow. From that. So all the firms started writing about conferences and codes of behavior at conferences, you know. So I started having the conversation and getting involved in the women's group at Cambridge, thanks to Amy Weber and, you know, and having those conversations. And then, of course, you know, the summer of 2020, after George Floyd happened, all of a sudden they started doing the DEI committees. Mm-hmm. So I came back and applied for
checking the boxes.
Yeah. I came back in and said, you're starting a committee. I'd like to be a part of it. And I was I applied for it and got it. And I also did the same thing with Affinity Group. But I was bound and determined it wasn't going to be that check the box thing.
Right.
And so have been part of that committee and thrilled to meet like-minded professionals with Cambridge. And we're doing the work. It's getting there. It must be doing something because I did get nominated for the Investment News Diversity and Inclusion Award, Rising Star.
Wow. Yeah.
This year.
Awesome.
And we've had a lot of our committee and lots of individuals within the Cambridge community that have been nominated for that. So
that's exciting.
It's, you know, and that's, and then again, too, also doing it not just within Cambridge, but also reaching out and meeting other advisors, you know, mm-hmm. through Purse Strings and through other organizations where we can support each other's practices.
I love it. Yeah. And you're a pioneer, really. Keep moving forward, and really challenging people to step up and quit checking off the boxes, but really doing the work, which is really so important. So great.
So, you know, after discussing all of this, what are like a couple top things you would love to see the industry start working on today?
Number one is moving to planning for people, mm-hmm. as opposed to selling product.
Yep. Amen.
I think if we're really going to be out here, we need to practice the principles of trying to do well for our clients, helping our clients do well. And if our clients do well, then we do well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you do need to work with people who support you. And that means also, you know, one of the things that I've done about that my practice is do more collaborative and work with other professionals who can't do those things. I mean, who I can't do it. I'm not an attorney.
Right.
So I need to find, an estate planning attorney
right.
to help people do their wills and stuff like that. I'm not a CPA. So I need a CPA to help me, and working together collaboratively. Mm-hmm. So I like to see that model happening, not the home office model that has your one token person who brings
right,
in
right.
that, but more of a real collaborative piece on that. And the second thing is, I think we really need to look at ways to incorporate the minds of the youth coming in,
mm-hmm.
Their creativity, their desire to, they want truth.
Mm-hmm.
They want integrity. They want to be able to decide how they want to live their lives. And we need to incorporate that in our planning.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, we also need to take care of our elders. We need to take care mm-hmm. of those people and make sure that they pave the way. And the LGBT community, we're very cognizant that several people have paved the way. So our mm-hmm. way of honoring them is, making sure that their last years of their lives are, in comfort with people that they love, with the community that they love.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah, wonderful. This has been wonderful talking with you, Peggy, as always. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and your advocacy and educating us on what we can do better as well. We always appreciate you so much and your support of Purse Strings.
I can't do what I need to do in this industry without the support of individuals who I feel confident can help my clients. Mm-hmm. So that's why, Purse Strings has come and other networking groups that I'm part of. I have my community that I can
yeah.
count on to help me build my practice. And it's not just for my clients. It's also for me.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also for me to call up and say, hey, this is what's going on. What do you think?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love so much about, Purse Strings and the two of you, is that you keep the conversation going.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about the shit.
If we're not talking about it, we're not learning about it. So,
nope.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to us. Be sure to share with your friends and your friends' friends, and make sure that everyone gets the word about Purse Strings. And here's Peggy's messages. And until next time, be financially fearless.
Thank you. Bye.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.